sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
Sports and sports and sports. Sports in your face. Sports.
Booger and Mets.
Awesome.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gostkowski from the 18-yard line with a 28-yard attempt for the win. Tied at 40. Allen, right knee down. Ryan turns toward Gostkowski, not at Cardona. The snap in play. Swing the right leg. Kick lifted to the uprights. Right down the middle. A game winner for Gostkowski. And the Patriots prevail. 43-40.
It's the great John Sterling once said, raise your glass. Man, do I need one.
And that's high in the air to left field. And Benintendi, with his back against the wall, makes the catch. The ball game is over. And Boston wipes brow and hangs on to win game two. Kimbrel the save. Series all even at one apiece.
All right, fun night last night in Boston. Welcome into Felger Maserati on the Monday after re-entry Monday. Everything from the weekend, which means Patriots last night, Red Sox games 1 and 2. We'll be doing it all day long. I'm going to start off with a quiz. Maz alongside Big Jim Murray in our update studio.
Yeah.
Stu behind the glass. Billy Lanning, fully loaded Felger and Maz program. Who said the following? You ready?
Yep.
Tell me, Boston, who said this? Murray, Stu, who said this? I wake up this morning, this is the first thing that I heard. Quote, why did it feel like both home teams lost last night? End quote. Who would that be?
That would be one Anthony Maserati.
No.
Yep.
Why did it feel like both lost last night? We just played you the play-by-play where they actually both won. Those were the game-winning plays. Why does it feel like both lost last night? Thank you, Maz.
No problem. Expect, happy to do it.
Expect nothing less out of you.
I am. I'm a horrible, rotten, negative human being.
I literally immediately deleted the email and in bed said, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this today. Like, give me a break.
So that's the question. Did you just feel that way at the moment when you wrote it this morning, fully caffeinated? Do you still feel that way now? Or was that just, again, was that just in the moment?
No, I felt that way in the moment last night. Like, good God, you've got to be kidding me. This is what it's going to take now? This is a team that can't play defense and a team that can't play defense. Like, I come down to the two of them. That's what it felt like to me last night. It did. I went, this is not a sustainable formula for winning. It's not. And maybe that's, I tend to look ahead and look big picture. It's my problem. I admit I can't enjoy it in the moment. I admit it. I can't enjoy it in the moment, okay? So fine, Murray. So delete my email. Fine. Go ahead. Have a blast.
Basically what you're saying is you look at the flaws that both the Red Sox and the Patriots showed last night and said that ain't going to work long term.
Exactly. Exactly. And so that's the part I have trouble getting around. Now, when I woke up today and started thinking about it, sure, less so. I mean, they both played, you know, they're both playing good competition here, and they both got W's, and yes. But my big picture concerns are still there for them, and I think that they are fatal flaws. That's, if they were little problems, I could tolerate them. But they feel like bigger problems that ultimately will do them in.
What's the Patriots' problem?
Defense.
Do you feel worse about it today? The defense? Or the same that you did going into that game? Because I feel the same. Like,
I didn't feel great about it before.
Neither did I, but I don't feel like it's exponentially worse, Murray, because the Chiefs are really good.
Murray, Kansas City had the ball in the second half for 10 minutes.
Yeah, they're arguably the most explosive offense in the NFL. It's them and the Rams.
And they scored 31 points in 10 minutes. 10. With a game that I thought the Patriots had in hand. And maybe shame on me for thinking that. Like, I just thought, first half, Kansas City couldn't get in the red zone. The Patriots are confusing them. They were obviously mixing up coverages and pass rushes and all of that and dropping guys into coverage, which I loved. I thought it was a late season game plan by the Patriots to really confuse Mahomes and to some degree Reed, get themselves a lead, and I thought that they would be able to hold on easily. When they fell behind late, I went, oh my God, you've got to be kidding me. I was floored by that. Now look, they won the game. But again, I just said defense, bleh.
So I feel worse about the defense, Murray. I mean, because I thought the Patriots would at least take away the big play, right? I mean, that's, I said it all week.
GTFB, yeah, that's what we thought the game plan was going to be in this going into this.
Yeah, and sorry for the under-recommendation out there. But I thought at least that they'd have their safeties back and they wouldn't give up the big play. And so you 9 points at half, all field goals. Like, right, okay. This is what I would expect from the Patriots. And then just to give up all those big plays in the second half. So I was not expecting that. I'm stunned that turned into a ball game. That should not have been a ball game.
See, that's how I felt.
Was it 24-9 at half?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was 24-9 at half. And all you got to do, all you have to do is hold on to the ball and get back on defense. And there's no, and Kansas City has no shot. And you give up all those big plays and the Brady turnover?
31 points in 10 minutes.
Okay, now, I feel worse about it, but do I think it's a fatal flaw yet? No. No. And this is a bigger picture topic we'll get to. No one plays defense in that league. So it's just degrees of bad. It's just degrees of how badly does your defense suck. And that's where we are with the Patriots. The Patriots' defense sucks, but so does everybody else's. So where is it on that scale?
But having watched that first half, and Mahomes looked like the moment was a little too big for him because he missed a couple of wide open plays. And we're talking about a maybe a different outcome if he hits those. It's Hill and Kareem Hunt had beaten Dante Hightower. And granted, you know, the blitzing by the Patriots kind of gave him that nervousness. But if he hits those plays, I don't know. Like, I felt like it was all a matter of time before this kid settled down. They've been on TV enough that I've watched this team. It's like, okay, it's all a matter of time before they explode.
It's 40 at home, and it's a bunch of big plays. No, I'm not.
I mean, so then you don't think much of the Chiefs?
No, I think a lot of the Chiefs. But what do you think? You can win a championship without playing good teams? I mean, eventually you're going to run into some good teams.
No, but I thought the defense kind of sucked anyway. That's why I'm not that surprised that this thing became a track meet last night.
Oh, I was expecting more from the defense.
Me too. I thought, like, the first half to me was encouraging.
I thought you were going
to
keep them under 30. But 40? And all in the second half and just big plays because you didn't get back? Like, that's even, you don't even have to be good defensively to get back. You just get back. Everybody get back. And they couldn't even do that?
I'm telling you, I can't get past the math. Okay, the math. 31 points in 10 minutes. 31 points in 10 minutes.
I mean, I just didn't think it was that bad. That's all. So shame on me for giving too much credit to the Patriots defense. What's the Red Sox fatal flaw?
I still think that I look at the pitchers and their inability to perform under pressure, and I'm really starting to worry about it. And again, checking the ball all over the place. I just don't think you can win getting four innings out of your starters. And I recognize, like the NFL, that this is a trend. Right, this is a trend throughout baseball. I'm just having a hard time wrapping my head around it. David Price doesn't get out of the fifth. You know, they get leads, they give them back. And I understand that on some measure, you know, on some level, this is a measure of postseason baseball. Who's the clutch performer on this Red Sox team?
It's like, been Rick Porcello.
Porcello right now,
okay, yes. Right now, but I would say that you look at it and you say, well, that guy's got a reputation of being clutch.
No one.
They don't have one. So, I'm having trouble with that. Like, who are they going to lean on, particularly on the pitching staff that I say can get big outs, and then the Kimbrel thing at the end, I'm sorry. That chopped my legs off, too. Like, I look at that and go, oh, is this going to be this way every night now? Every night you give the guy a 3-run lead and he can't hold it?
Give me a grade for David Price yesterday.
C-.
D. D plus. Something like that.
F! 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 No, honestly, it's a D-. It's not quite failing because, again, the scale, the curve, which is, Maz, those numbers you sent just, you know, late in the day, no one's going deep.
Isn't that unbelievable?
The whole game is just, you know.
What'd Kershaw give the Dodgers on Friday, like 4 1/3 or something like that, too?
And you know what? I even left the National League out of it because you get substitutions early in National League games for lots of reasons. I just stuck with the American League.
No, the NL's as bad.
I mean, it is as bad. It is. But I didn't even want to introduce that variable of pinch hitting for the pitcher. Okay, so let's just stick to the American League with the DH. The average pitcher, basically, is going 4 1/3.
Okay, so
with an ERA just a tick under 5.
And that's brutal.
It's horrendous.
So on that scale, David Price's performance wasn't an F, but I'm sorry.
He got bailed out.
Four runs, 4 walks, 4 2/3. No. And the bar is so low. We are so scared of this guy that 4 2/3, 4 runs, 4 walks gets a standing ovation in that stadium. Because we are so, anything above crapping your pants in the second inning feels like a win with that guy. And so that's what he did. But just because you didn't fail doesn't mean you succeeded. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. If it wasn't for Jackie Bradley Jr., we're talking about this guy again crapping his pants in the playoffs today. And this kind of makes me nuts about this. And granted, I have a slanted view of David Price and I've been hard on him. But it's like a glowing review of this performance last night from everyone from Shaughnessy on down.
Stop
Use
it.
Your eyes.
Baby steps. That's a little baby, too.
That's a little teeny tiny baby.
See, people completely dismiss the situations. They gave him an early 2-0 lead. He gave it back. And then he let them get two more in a home run that freaking practically landed on the moon. So like, I look at that and say, how can... That's not good pitching. It's just not. A good pitcher doesn't give a lead back.
And so interesting. I don't know why it didn't occur to me at the time, but when Cora lifted him, he was one out short of getting his first postseason win.
I know. I love the fact that they pulled him right there.
Isn't it great that he didn't? You know, we get to keep that storyline alive, and it's you still haven't won a postseason game, you choking dog. You know, because even if he had gotten the win, that wasn't good enough for a win.
We'd be talking about a fake win today.
Yeah, fake win. Exactly, fake win. Right. Yep. Alex Cora spared Price from the fake win. So, because he didn't deserve it.
Price should thank him.
He doesn't deserve to say, oh, he's gotten off the schneid, because he didn't. He didn't come through last night. He didn't deliver last night. He just didn't totally, completely soil his pants. He just left a little, again, bacon strip. So that doesn't mean all of a sudden. It's like, how low is the bar for this guy all of a
low.
Sudden? Wow.
Very low. So I was floored when he left the game to that ovation.
Best pitcher this year.
I went, wow. They're really in his corner, I guess, now, if they're giving him a standing ovation when he gets 14 outs.
But with you, Maz, I'm still not saying it's a fatal flaw with the Red Sox. And I thought this weekend they did not play well. So I feel, and I said this to you, I feel just like I did coming out of those first New York games, where I said, well, they're not playing very well. And it doesn't look right. And there was so much stuff on Saturday that was just wrong. From Nunez's defense to
Sale.
This way Sale looked, that's a whole nother story unto itself. JD Martinez not running out of the box on a check swing in the eighth inning. I think Joe Kelly basically intentionally hit Bregman there in the sixth, which cost you the game-winning run. Or if not, he was a little too careless with that, and we'll get to that story in a second. So there's just so many things in that Saturday game that weren't right.
And Benintendi and Betts were god-awful on Saturday.
There's just a lot of things. And then yesterday, David Price did not give you a winning performance. And you come out of that 1-1, and you go, wow, this doesn't look good. They got to sharpen up, or else they're going to lose this series. But then again, on the other hand, I could say, well, you played like ass on Saturday. David Price did not have a winning performance on Saturday, and you're at a split. You're actually in good shape considering how you played some of this weekend.
Yeah, I put an emphasis on how they play. And again, you mentioned the two games, you know, here reminding you of the Yankee games. What games have they played well in at home?
Okay, so the home games haven't been good.
So I'm starting to wonder whether the ballpark is psyching them out, that they know the fan base is there waiting for them to slip up on some level, and they're tight at home and looser on the road.
Let's see.
I'm starting to wonder that.
Let's see. Because they certainly woke up and played really well in New York, those two games. Exceptional. You know, in all facets, they just played terrific.
They've had four home games and played poorly in pretty much all of them.
That's fair. So let's see. Let's see what they look like in Houston. So there you go. Patriots last night, Red Sox this weekend. Maz says they both feel like losses. You can open the phones, please. Release the hounds at 617-779-0985 to you right after this.
This is Felger and Maz
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, it's almost inconceivable that he would have no wins at this point. But think of it this way. This is his 11th start in the postseason. His teams have never scored for him in the first inning until tonight.
Runner at first. He takes off. And a swing and a high fly ball deep left. This one's going to fly out of Fenway. Hits the banner above the monster seats. A booming home run for Marwin Gonzalez. It's a two-run blast. And the Astros lead 4-2. And now it's about stuff on the mound. And Alex Cora is going to take his chances pen. Dave Price will exit here in the fifth.
I thought he was a warrior and that he was going to compete. The best thing that I saw was the Boston fans recognize the effort and go out there, give him a standing ovation. And not only that, whenever he got someone in deep in the count, they all stood up to support him. And that's what I want to see.
I mean, we won. That's my first team win as a starter. So it's baby steps, it's baby steps. You know, I expect to win, but I'm very happy that we won.
Baby steps. Good Lord. Thanks to the Midday Show for letting us use that. And that comment, again, I mean,
First team win as a starter. So this is what, $31 million and $31 million a year and years later.
Yeah, it's a low bar.
Holy moly.
I mean, a low bar. And damn. I'm telling you, I was surprised by the fan reaction as much as anything. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, this is what gets you standing O at Fenway now? I don't know. Maybe it tells you that they're so deep into this team, and I'm not blaming fans for it. You should be. It's a likable team. They fight, man. They do. And that they're so far into it, they're willing to tolerate just about anything. I mean, you know,
well,
what is
I mean, you know what? They're willing it to happen. Because, I mean, this is the same stadium that booed Price off the field last week. So I don't think there's any love affair. I just think the fans want it. You know, the fans want it. They know they need this guy.
Yeah, 40,000 therapists. That's what it
exactly.
is.
Exactly. You know, positive reinforcement. They're just...
Come on, David. Come on, David. We love you. Come right. on, huh? Come
we're,
on.
We're
huh?
willing it to happen.
Yeah. No, that's
exactly
yeah,
right,
they're
right.
deep. They're in deep. The fans are. That's what I'm saying. They're so invested in it that they're, you know, they're going to support him no matter what. You know what his ERA for that game is? 7.71. That gets you a standing ovation now. 7.71 ERA for the game.
Postseason ERA went up. Career after that game. So there you go. All right, Red Sox, Patriots, we go. Rick and Merrimack, lead us off today. What do you got on the Sox?
Hi. Guys, I'm totally amazed that the Red Sox have 1-1. Martinez has no hits. Mookie's got one. And Kimbrel is absolutely a basket case. My second point's on football. Who isn't flawed in the whole NFL other than the Rams right now? And those are my 2 points.
So, yeah, the second one is where I stand. The Patriots defense obviously sucks. I thought it was going to be better. But everyone's defense sucks. So it's degrees of suck. And, you know, the fundamental question is, can you win a championship with that defense? And I'm not willing to say no yet. I mean, I think it's maybe. Maybe. I mean, they've won it with bad defenses before. I don't know if it's this bad. But, again, the scale has changed. So, I mean, that's where we are with the team. Can they win with that defense? And I think maybe, yeah.
So that's the hard. But that's the part I'm having a hard time with. And, again, this might be a me problem. Okay, like I just, if this is what the league is, I hate it. I hate it. And so, again, now look, they won the game, but I didn't have concerns about their offense going into that game. I thought they, you know, look, and they made a play or two, I guess, on defense, the Hightower interception, most notable among them. But if all the league is you're going to beat everybody 45-40 or 43-40, or they have, of course they have a shot. Absolutely, because they have Brady.
It's so true. To that first half, I said, oh, wow. This was like one of those old, creative Belichick game plans where guys aren't where they're supposed to be, and they're baiting the quarterback, and like some of the, just the Hightower stuff alone was terrific. Chucking Kelsey, rushing Mahomes, chucking Kelsey, dropping back into coverage, completely confusing the kid or pressuring the kid. He didn't know who was where, and on defense, you know, guys doing different things is like, this felt like old school where Bill used to really dial that stuff up. And then the second half, it's like a track meet up and down the field, which I just was not expecting. On the Sox, you could say that they're lucky to be 1-1, but they easily could have won on Saturday night too, which tells me I just think these teams are so close, Sox-Astros. On Saturday, just think about it. If Nunez makes those two plays, and I'm sorry, the one in the second inning, the two-run single, at the very worst, has to be knocked down.
You got to knock that ball down.
I mean, if you don't get up, you don't make the play, fine. But there's two outs. So, but at least knock the thing down and just hold it to one run versus two. So he's got to make that play. And then the double play in the six was just a joke. So if Nunez makes those two plays, Benintendi, who was called out looking on that 3-2 pitch, which was off the plate, the bases were loaded. If just those things go to the other side, the Sox are actually winning 3-0 in that game and might win that ball game.
Okay, so that's true, except that I say defense at third base has been a problem all year long. So, like, I look at that and say, that's a flaw. Your flaw bit you in the ass. And so now, look, we can discuss Nunez versus Devers, and that's, again, maybe a topic for another day or later in the show or whatever. To me, if you're not going to get defense out of Nunez, why is he in there? Get him out. Like, the whole point. And also, at that stage, Sale had pitched himself into trouble. So, like, and again, that's where I get frustrated. And maybe this is a me problem. Like, I have to accept the fact that it's going to be done differently now. But I just don't think it's a good way to live, to constantly put guys on base and expect your third baseman to field a whistler that goes under his glove.
So part of those walks are by design. We'll get to that coming up. But that the Sox have said it. It's become apparent that that approach, all those walks, they're not. It's kind of part of the game plan. Dylan in Fall River on the Patriots. Hi, Dylan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just quickly wanted to say on James White, he's definitely a candidate for, early season MVP. Without him, I'm not sure where we'd be. And Tom Brady, I feel like this season his internal clock in the pocket isn't where it usually is. That fumble held onto the ball way too long. And I feel like his default reaction to pressure now is lobbing that terrible spiral deep ball he's got downfield to double, triple coverage. Should have had an interception yesterday as well.
So Dylan, excellent. James White factor, just a force. Brady, I didn't love his game.
No, neither did I.
You know, a lot of people are, he made some, as usual, game-winning plays and late-game plays. And so, you know, he did it when he had to. But overall, I didn't love his night.
That fumble was maybe the worst play I've ever seen in his career. I was telling you during the commercial break, the one that was the low watermark for me was a game against the Indianapolis Colts on a Sunday night like 4 years ago where he just like chucked it into triple coverage. It's like, what has happened to you? But that last night, like, dude, eat it, get rid of it. That was just, you could see something bad happening as long as he was there, patting the ball, trying to find something. So felt like something terrible was going to happen there. Unfortunately, it did. And I felt like he tried to force too many balls to Josh Gordon.
Absolutely. And I don't know if that's his fault or Josh's or Bill's. They're trying to get Gordon going.
9 targets.
Too much. And half of them, they were fully not on the same page.
Yeah.
Just not on the same page. Gordon ran the wrong route or he wasn't. It's just, so they're sort of force feeding that thing, which, you know, maybe there's value to that because you could use Gordon down the stretch. But the fumble speaks for itself. I hate the shot plays. You know, even one that turned into the biggest play of the game for you, just about 3rd-and-1 to Chris Hogan. Why are you chucking it 30 yards down the field on 3rd-and-1 to Chris Hogan? And I know why. They'll tell me why. It's the matchup. You know, that's where the coverage takes you. They're doubled up on Gronk. They've taken White out, and so where do you go? You go to the matchup. And the Pats are hardly the only team that does this. But just because that's where the matchup takes you, I'm never throwing a 35-yard bomb down the field to my 4th receiver on 3rd-and-1. I hate that play, and I felt Brady, and Brady's fallen into this over the years, where he gets into some of these late-game situations, he just really starts chucking it, bombs away. And I felt that was going on last night, too.
I'll take the 6-yard completion Edelman every time on that. Like, you know, to me, I didn't think Brady was great last night either. And he and Gordon aren't on the same page. That one in the back of the end zone, Gordon's got to stop there. He kept going. Like, Brady threw it behind him, like, when he was running the back line there. You know, to me, it's just not, I don't know. I'm good with 3 catches a game from Gordon. That's it. Give me a couple of slants, and I'm good.
Well, the PI, that thing's valuable, right? If he can steal one for you in the end zone like he did the game before, draw a flag on the goal line, like, fine. That's fine. But as being part of that precision passing game down the field, I mean, it's not there yet, that's for sure.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Mass.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The 48 of Casey dropping back, throwing a long ball right for Gronkowski. Separation makes the over the shoulder catch. And he's tackled by Parker inside the 10.
2 Hall of Famers just making a play at the end of a game when you need it. What a throw by Brady. And now you get the separation. And how do you cut a guy like this, get the jam with no help over the top? That's boneheaded by Kansas City. Why do you take advantage of it?
How much can this game show that there's mental toughness, you know, among the players and the ability to make the clutch plays when you had to make them?
I think we have a lot of clutch players. I think we have no problem grinding it out. That's what the football scene is all about. I don't think we've seen our best. I think we can all play a lot better. I think that's what we plan to do.
All right, Tom Brady after the last big play of the ball game. Gronkowski for 39 yards down to the Kansas City 9. They should have let him score. Hard to ask a player to think that way, but as soon as they tackled him, I said, ball game. As soon as they tackled him, the game was over.
See, I felt there was no chance of Kansas City stopping the Patriots on that drive. Zero.
But the only chance they had was to let him score a touchdown
absolutely.
And get the ball back.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, let's see. That was with 51 seconds left. It was snapped at 51 seconds. So, say he scores at 45 seconds. You get the ball back with 45 seconds and a chance to get 7 points and tie the game and go to overtime. That was their only chance. As soon as you tackled him, ball game. Which is, like, should you expect that player to know that?
No.
Should you expect the coaching to say, let him score?
No, because you don't, at that stage, like, don't you have to play and hope he just misses the kick?
Because, so again, the ball was thrown from the 48. They weren't in field goal range yet, so you have to defend. But do you say, we're going to defend from the 48 to the 30, but if they're inside the 30, let them go? Like, I mean, I wouldn't even know how to coach it. or how to say it, but the right play there was to let him go. The right play there was to let him go and score and try and get the ball back. But I guess too much to ask. The coaching on the Kansas City side, better than I was used to, but still Andy Reid had his moments. There was still a classic Andy Reid drive late in that ball game. It's after the Tom Brady drive gives you the four-point lead. The Tom Brady scramble, I should say, gives you the four-point lead. So the crowd's up. Patriots now up 37-33. Remember what Kansas City did?
Go ahead.
Fake double reverse screen pass for 0 yards. Then they dumped off short to Watkins for 3 yards. Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tick-tick-tick-tick. Clock ticking. Incomplete punt. So there you go. It's turned into a track meet. It's turned into a basketball game, really, with whoever gets the last shot wins. Up and down the field, up and down the field, up and down the field. Except Kansas City gets the ball. Again, 5:25 left after the Brady scramble. Dink around with some stupid, screen pass. Short throw for 3 yards, punt. Said, there's Andy Reid. There he is. Big fella can't help himself. But anyway, we continue with your thoughts, Patriots and Red Sox. Here's Scott and Wayne. Scott, 20-second shot clock on you, buddy. Go.
20 seconds is tough. I'll do my best. I'm going to touch Pats and Red Sox. As I said on this radio show 10 days ago, get used to it. The only way this team is going to win, a good offense is a good defense. This is what you're going to see all season. They're going to win games 42-39 all year, okay? A good offense is a good defense. Red Sox.
I'm just going to stop you there. Go ahead.
Oh, God, he's so annoying. It takes him 10 seconds to just get into it. Holy crap, don't tell us what you're going to talk about. Just talk.
He's our most annoying caller. That's why he has a 20-second shot clock, and he couldn't make it today without pissing Maz off. Nick in the car on Pat's Chiefs. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, I think this is exactly the way you expected the game to go. It was very high scoring, but the Pats make some key defensive plays to allow them to get the win in the end, like allowing the Chiefs to 9 points in the first half when the Chiefs are so accustomed to getting those points early, and Dante Hightower's interception.
So hold on. So Nick, you're actually giving the defense credit for last night?
No. Neither team can play defense. Let's be honest. But I actually have a quick point to something you made, Felger, in your opening remarks. You said you were surprised the Pats gave up the big play.
Yes.
Are you really surprised?
Yes.
I'm not surprised.
I thought at least after all those big plays you gave up last year, and thanks for the call, after all the big plays you gave up last year, that at least after a week of Bill screaming at the team to get back, that they'd get back. And I thought after last year when you totally wilted in the fourth quarter that you'd get into the second half of this ballgame, and after running the hills during the week and preparing for the track meet, that you'd be there in the second half. Instead, you weren't. So that surprises me. No, so I'm the a-hole for expecting the team to have taken coaching and improved off of last year.
But with the speed of Hill and Hunt, there's only so much you can do. And not to, not
Murray,
to say,
you're acting like there's no other option other than to give up 40 points?
Against that team? Yeah. Mike, that game pretty much played out exactly the way I thought it was going.
40? 40.
Yeah, because that's what these Andy Reid teams do now with this kind of talent.
40. Even though, and that includes you intercepting him in your end zone. That includes him missing Mahomes 2 touchdowns on the first drive. That includes, it doesn't really. But so, I mean,
I thought it would be like 37-33, so they got a little bit more than I thought. But this Chiefs team is no joke offensively. No, saw that.
The first half is what I was expecting. Field goals for Kansas City. You poking a little bit of a hole in Patrick Mahomes as a young quarterback. And you controlling the ball game and keeping them to field goals. That's what I expected. I did not expect Kareem Hunt again to get behind your defense for a, how long was that touchdown?
75?
4 million yards? I was not expecting
67.
I was not expecting a 75-yard in cut with 5 minutes left in the game in the balance without anyone touching Tyreek Hill. I'm sorry. If you're sitting there saying, well, that's just what Kansas City is, that's
no, but I also think that has to do with, unfortunately, the personnel of the Patriots secondary. Like, the Harmon's not good. That terrible angle he took on that Tyreek Hill 75-yard touchdown. Like, that's Daron Harmon. What the hell do you want?
See, but so this is what worries me. As I look at it and see, now I fall somewhere in between you two. I was pleasantly surprised by the first half. I looked at it and said, oh.
Well, no, I mean, I wasn't. That's what I was expecting after a week of hard coaching and all the things that they did wrong last year for it to look like that in the first half.
See, I keep waiting for the Patriots defense to surprise me and say, oh, so that first half, when I saw how they schemed it, That interception by Hightower, that's good defense. Now, look, Mahomes didn't see him. Like, on that one, I don't hold Mahomes accountable. He's played in six games in his career, for crying out loud.
Good defense.
I love that. I looked at it and I said, there we go. Now we're talking.
So why can't I expect that in the second half, too?
So
because of the personnel, it's not sustainable. Look, once Mahomes was going to get settled, that game was going to become what it became in the second half.
See, I disagree with you, Murray. I felt like there were massive breakdowns in the
massive.
Second half. Massive.
Murray, you can't.
There were early. If they wait, okay, they dialed up blitzes at the right time, but Mahomes missed Kelsey, and he missed Hunt, Hill, too, just by, like, so close. They got lucky.
He overthrew a couple touchdowns on the first drive, no question about it. But I'm sorry. I don't care who you're playing. There's no excuse for 67-yard touchdown passes and 75-yard touchdown passes and 97-yard kickoff returns and this sort of stuff. Like,
Teams, that was a dumpster fire.
That I was not expecting. Sorry, I wasn't.
Belichick was terrified of that Kansas City offense last night, if you ask me. Terrified. And he schemed it a little, but the whole game plan was predicated on holding the ball. Since when did the Patriots play a ball possession game? Like, they held the ball for 36 minutes. Kansas City had the ball for 24 minutes, 10 in the second half, and they scored 40 points. And they threw two picks and punted once. They should have scored 50 last night.
So, I mean, that surprises me. I thought you'd be better than that. I'm not expecting you to hold them to 18 points. Like, you give them another three field goals in the second half. But I think it was reasonable to expect it to be at home with 10 days of rest and 10 days of preparation. Kansas City traveling after a game last Sunday against Jacksonville. After all of that and all the alleged progress you've made, to not give up 67 and 75-yard touchdown passes. I just thought they were beyond that. I thought the Pats would be able to, you know, keep those plays in check, and they're not. But that doesn't mean I think they're done. Like, that's a fatal flaw. They're just another crappy defense in a league full of crappy defenses.
No, it's a league full of crappy defenses.
So, you know, what does that mean? I think they can still win with that defense. I think. So we continue with your thoughts on that. And Red Sox, their weekend, 1-1, heading down to Houston.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
There's a lot of hardware down there, you know, Cy Youngs and MVPs and All-Star games and all that stuff, but there's not too many World Series rings down there. They're hungry for one, and they have a shot right now.
Sale trying to get out of another mess. Runners go, and a swing and a shot, and it's in the left field, goes under the glove of Nunez, and the Astros strike first, George Springer. Alex Cora got ejected from this game. He continued to argue with James Hoy after that ring-up of Andrew Benintendi and got tossed. Ground to third. Nice easy hop from Nunez, who drops the ball. Everybody safe. Boy, that is as routine as it gets. Here's Gurriel now. Two on with one away. He's on the first pitch. Down the right field line. Down by the pesky pole. And it is gone! Three-run home run knockout punch.
You know, my spirits are down. My confidence isn't down. Looking forward to getting back out there and getting another opportunity.
I know how good he is. I know he's been pitched well against them. I trust the guy.
A swing and a high fly ball deep left. This one's going to fly out of Fenway. A booming home run for Marwin Gonzalez. And the Astros lead 4-2. In the air, left field. That is slicing down in the corner. And it is off the wall. Two runs are in. And Devers is going to score. It's a 3-run double. Jackie Bradley Jr. Boston on top. Alex Cora is going to take his chances with his pen. David Price will exit here in the fifth. Kimbrel has given up runs in each of his three appearances in the postseason. And that's high in the air to left field. Benintendi with his back against the wall makes the catch. The ball game is over. And Boston wipes the brow and hangs on to win game two. Series all even at one piece.
So there's your weekend recap there. Red Sox, thanks to Jimmy Stewart, executive producer. Let's go through some of the items we heard right there. We discussed Nunez's defense. Absolutely killed you. Single-handedly lost you that ball game.
Train wreck.
On Saturday. I'm sorry, man.
Train wreck.
Just brutal. Speaks for itself, really. You heard Cora getting ejected there after the Benintendi strike three call on a ball outside the plate, 3-2 bases loaded, would have brought in a run. How'd you feel about that?
So two things. One, playoff game at home, American League Championship Series. You cannot get thrown out of that game if you are the manager. You cannot get thrown out of the game. What are you doing? So, like, I look at that and say, you're going to get tossed in the middle innings of a playoff game when your team is, you know, vying for a championship? Cannot happen. And this notion that you're protecting your player, please, you protect your players in the regular season. The other thing is he got tossed from the top step of the dugout, for crying out loud. Then he walked out onto the field. So, you know, if you were protecting your player, you would have ran your ass out there, you would have got in between your rump and the player, and you would have dragged him back to the dugout. You weren't protecting your player. Cannot get tossed. And part two, Ben Attendee, can you please stop whining on every called third strike you take? Or at least it feels that way. And I'm not telling you the pitch was a strike. I'm just telling you it happened in New York. Now it happened again. He feels to me like a whiner. Just stop whining.
Okay.
Because you come off when you do that, you come off as a bitch. Seriously, it's like, and look, again, overall, Ben Attendee's a good player. Not a great player, a good player. Stop with the whining. Okay, the strike zone, it might be a little loose. If it's a little loose, swing the bat. You're using up your chances. Enough.
Okay, ninth inning home runs from Houston. Kimbrel is not used on Saturday night. Should he have been? Down a run.
So on that one, I look at it and say, I don't have a huge problem with Corey not using him there, but my issue with Corey is you pulled Sale too early. So I look at that one and say, you pull Sale, finally get into a rhythm in the third and fourth innings.
86 pitches.
He's at 86 pitches, and you pull him out of the game. And then you have to decide between Workman and Kimbrel in the ninth. If you let Sale go five, Workman, neither one of them ever sees the light of day, and maybe it's still 3-2. Like, now look, the Kimbrel thing I get. Kimbrel pitched badly in New York. You can't pitch Kimbrel all seven games.
Don't you get the Sale thing? The injury, the rehab, the pacing him, he's clearly not right, like all that.
Okay, but again, if you let him go 3-4, he threw 90-something in the last game. He had another 10, 15 pitches in him. Like, he can only go 85 now? That's where we are? I thought the pitch count was supposed to go up, not down. Like, they said they were building him up to get him to 100. He gets to 86, and he gets into a rhythm, and you pull him? Like, and then you wonder why Wentz in the game in the ninth? Like, if you're going to use seven pitchers every night, well, that's going to be a problem. And again, maybe this is a me issue, Mike, because this whole new method of getting through the game drives me bananas. I don't watch baseball to see the manager manage. And I feel like that's what it's becoming.
No question.
Driving me batty. At 86 pitches now, the guy finally gets in a groove and you pull him? Like, what, so you can pitch him in relief between starts? He's not going until game five either way, I think.
How did Sale look before that?
Awful. As bad as I've ever seen him in a Red Sox uniform.
But you want him to keep him in because he had...
He found his rhythm.
Okay, but early on in the ballgame?
The second inning in particular is the worst I've ever seen Chris Sale in a Red Sox uniform. The worst. And what I base that on is not the velocity. It was on the fact that that slider was flying up and out of the strike zone in the left-handed batter's box. It's one thing to sort of miss down and in or even hang him in the middle of the plate, and that can happen. But to miss them the way he was missing them, oh my God, I have never seen him worse. And then, again, it felt like he found it. And Cora pulled him. That one I didn't get. I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
So the JBJ double. Credit to Jackie Bradley for hanging in there. Big hit. Huge hit. But to me, that was more evidence of the guy who actually crapped himself last night was Gerrit Cole.
Yes.
Sorry. I mean, the way you open up that ball game, double, single, chuck it into the camera well, four pitch walks. Then your team gets you the lead back, and you have Jackie Bradley. Who, I'm sorry, it doesn't feel to me like he could hit a beach ball right now. Bases loaded, two outs. You're basically out of it. You got Jackie Bradley, and you go 2-0 on Jackie Bradley. So now you're 2-0 behind. You got to come in, and he scrapes a little cheesy thing down the left field line. That's on Gerrit Cole. You got to be kidding me.
No question. Again, I'll tell you, even Verlander in game one, in that, was it the fifth inning or the fourth? They were all running together.
Yeah, no, it fell apart in the middle inning for him.
When Verlander was cruising. I think it was the fifth inning. And then all of a sudden, he couldn't find the plate. And he's walking in runs. They gave the Red Sox two runs in that inning. You know, the other one scored in a wild pitch, right? Like, the whole thing was, I thought the pitchers of both sides were crapping themselves on the mound through the whole first two games. So the quality of play all around, I thought, was relatively poor. It was just a question of who was going to crap himself the least.
Okay, so you wrap it all together and say you still wonder if this Sox team has a pressure issue.
I do. I wonder because, again, I look at the whole thing and I say, I don't know that there's a guy there that truly knows how to win.
I just, you know, they went to New York and played so well.
They did.
In such a tough spot. So I know they have it in them. And I don't know why the games at Fenway have been worse. They've played worse at Fenway this postseason, which is such a flip because they're such a great home team. But I don't know. I just have the same feel as I did out of New York. Like, you come out of these two games, and there's a lot of things that don't look right. And then, they went to New York and did everything right. So I don't know. I'm not willing to say that they're chokers.
No. I'm not telling you they're going to lose. They might win. I'm just telling you if they win, they're going to have to grind their way there, I think. I think you're going to get a lot of this. And so there were other – now look, the 2013 team in a lot of ways had to grind its way to a championship, and it did. But I didn't believe in that team, you know, as most everyone knows. So this team, I look at it and I say, this team's got way more talent than that 2013 team did. And it just feels to me like I go right around and say Mookie Betts sort of went into a funk there, and he's coming out of it now, and I'm happy to see that. J.D. Martinez, since the first inning of game 1 of the Yankee series, is 4 for 20. He's batting 200. He's 0 for 7 in this series with 3 strikeouts.
And I'm sorry, not running out of the box in the 8th inning on Saturday on that check swing is out to lunch.
I mean, Nunez has got balls rolling under his glove. You know, Benintendi's bitching about strikes out on the outside part of the plate. I just go through the role players thus far have served them, like, off the charts well. Brock Holt, you know, Nunez had a big hit in New York, Kinsler, Vasquez, certainly Bradley yesterday. So the bottom of that lineup, to me, is what's bailed them out so far. But I still don't feel like any one particular guy has elevated.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts on the Red Sox. We'll get to your calls. We'll also update you on Chris Sale. That story, here's an update from Murray. 90 seconds, no commercials, and we're right back.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.